Now everybody, let me tell you a story about Hollywood shame. Where terrible actors and scripts collide. Oh, what a mess it is on the other side. Saw the lights, camera, action begin. But all I got was a movie that plunged in a spin. From the first scene to the credits that roll. Oh, Hollywood disaster, you've taken its toll. Silver screen says cool, bad movies galore. Can't help but wonder what the hell were they making these for. Throwing some cliches to shut the predictable plot. It's a train wreck, I tell you, it's all they ever got.
And now for our feature presentation.
Welcome to the Silver Screen Cesspool, where we review the poo. And now your host, the surveyor of cinema, the mocker of moronic movies, the terror of tiny town, the last known survivor of battlefield Earth, the one of many, Alan Smithy.
In the first Breakin' movie, they rock down to Electric Avenue. In Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, they will take it even higher. The 1984 movie, Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, has the rare honor of being a movie that is only famous for its name. This is a shame because it should be remembered as Ice-T's big acting break. The movie stars Adolfo Shabadoo Quinones as Turbo, Michael Boogaloo Shrimp Chambers as Ozone, and Lucinda, smart enough not to have a nickname, Dickie as Kelly. The movie starts with the gang getting back together, or at least I assume so. I haven't seen Breakin' 1 Manual Boogaloo, but it doesn't seem like I'm missing much. Anyway, Ozone and Turbo, who aren't Transformers or even GoBots for that matter, but instead breakdancers, are working at the local community center and asking Kelly to help them out. This community center is essential to the community because this is where the community goes to learn breakdancing, where they go to teach breakdancing, where they go to watch breakdancing, and where they go to watch people teaching breakdancing, and where they watch people being taught breakdancing, and where they teach people how to watch people breakdancing, and where they watch people teaching people how to watch people breakdancing, and apparently occasionally there's also some arts and crafts. But in classic 80 movie style, a developer wants to raise the community center to build a supermarket. But our heroes can save the community center by raising $200,000 in 30 days. They first try by collecting painfully looking fake money from people via car wash and bake sales. When that doesn't pay off, they have a telethon to raise the money. No wait, that's UHF. They decide to have a dance recital to raise the money. Is dance recital the right word for breakdancing? I don't know. While they plot and plan the recital, Kelly's rich dad tries to bribe her into attending Princeton or getting a dancing job in Paris. The rival 60-person dance crew from Jacksonville, Dance Dance Resolution, keeps intruding on their turf, so they have an impromptu street dance-off. The good guys win, of course, but I think it was entirely because Turbo intimidated them with his marching band uniform. No one has more street cred than a drum major. The biggest issue with this movie is that they treated it as a movie musical, but instead of breaking out into song and dance, they just break out into dance. This creates a lot of confusion because it's almost always unclear if this is a regular breakdancing moment, or if we're movie musical dancing. Are we supposed to be suspending disbelief as this dude suddenly starts dancing on the ceiling? Or are we witnessing this person have a complete psychotic break? If he just embraced his inner Lionel Richie and went, "Oh, what a feeling, we're dancing on the ceiling," we'd have that answer. But instead, it's some Nightmare on Elm Street confusing Wait, now are we dancing with a sex doll or a real person? I have no idea. With literally hundreds of dancers in this movie, some of them go out of their way to stand out and get noticed on film. The mime, for example, seems like a flawed plan. He did get more screen time, but it's not like he got any speaking parts in the movie. And then there's the short dancer wearing a Tor Johnson mask with aviators. It's a look that, yes, again, attracts attention, but no one can see your face. And do you really want to be reminding people of Plan 9 from Outer Space in another movie? The highlight of this movie for me, though, is Ice-T showing up in the club, looking like Detective Tutiola has gone undercover as Road Warrior Hawk. Ooh, what a rush! If you decide to watch this stinker, be on the lookout for the handcuff belt that keeps jumping from character to character. It's a great little game I played with myself to help stay awake. Turbo takes a tumble down the stairs and winds up in a coma in the hospital with a broken arm and leg. The gang visits and his girlfriend surprises them by emerging from the locker next to his bed. No explanation as to why or how she got there or why all her lines have been dubbed throughout the entire movie. She kisses Turbo like Princess Charming and Turbo emerges from the coma. Which means it's the perfect time for another dance number or a coma hallucination. Either way, the surgeons are leaving that dude to die on the operating table so they can pop and lock. So the big day of the dance recital comes and the bulldozers show up. So it's the perfect time for yet another dance number, I think. But the evil, wealthy developer tells the bulldozers to go ahead anyway, and the crowd scatters. But Turbo, still in a hospital gown, tells the bulldozers to get out of here, man, what's up? And the bulldozer operator's like, yeah, you make a good point, we're going home. Literally that easy. The dance recital goes off without a hitch. The rival dance crew even pitches in to help at the suggestion of Jason Mendoza. When the fundraising falls short, Kelly's rich daddy sees the light and the value of the community center and writes a big check, thus saving U62. I mean, the community center. Everyone's happy except for the developer, who would have gotten away with it too if not for those meddling kids. Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo is available streaming on Max.
Silver Screen Cesspool is written, directed, and starring Alan Smithy. Assistant director, producer, and stunt coordinator, Alan Smithy. Boom mic operator, sound editing and music by Alan Smithy. Construction coordinator, The Amazing Rando. Makeup by Crayola. Catering was provided by the Soylent Corporation. Alan Smithy will be back in Return of the Curse of the Planet of the Prehistoric Bikini Ninjas versus Kingdom of the Bride of the Killer, Shark Cheerleaders 2, Electric Boogaloo.